Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
It's Hospice Vision time here on Radio Pulpit. Welcome to the program and thanks for tuning in. It's Peter Barnard from the Hospice Vision studio with you this morning, and my guest here is Johanni Meyer. And Johanni, welcome. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks so much, Peter. I'm really happy to be here.
Johanni, you're a pastor of the English Church at Kulaas Church here in Pretoria. You have quite a job. You're young, you recently qualified, and you've got this huge responsibility on you. Isn't it quite challenging?
I think church tend to be challenging in its whole, this whole sense of it is, but it's such a privilege. So I'm really enjoying the new vocation that the Lord gave me. I did not expect to be in this position. I really believe the Lord decided to do something that I would not expect. But yes, it's a big responsibility, but I'm really enjoying it. I didn't expect that I would enjoy it this much, to be honest, because when you look at pastors in churches and you wonder, so what are they doing and how does it work? You never really know what the responsibility is. Mm. But I am very thankful that the Lord placed me here. I'm really enjoying the vocation.
Now, tell me, we from the outside, people often see, you know, we go to church on Sundays, we sing and we pray and we hear a sermon and then we go home. But there's a lot more to it than that. There's a deep spirituality that is something that our people, our Christians need. Now, how do you build that spirituality, that spiritual maturity? How do you build that?
Peter, I think there's a few elements to spiritual maturity, but also to the institution of church, because I think over the years, you know, it's changed. Since the early church, the Lord started with a certain model of church, and over the years it changed. And I think we forgot what it's really about, and that brought in a lot of elements of church either working for you or not working for you. And I think in our Western culture, we can easily choose what works and what doesn't work, right? Mm. But I've just realized that when you can really make sure that you live according to the word, that church will mean something to you and it will really build into your spiritual maturity, into your spiritual life. And especially for me, we even in our family also had a bit of a difficulty regarding church. I got saved when I was very young. So I did was part of a few different churches, but at a stage I had to retract from church because I got hurt in church, and I think that's so many people's stories. But when we came back, it's as if the Lord helped me to be ready to really deepen my relationship with Him amongst other believers. And to come back to your question, I think when we can become vulnerable towards other believers and really take in what the Lord wants to tell us personally in church, it's then when you can start maturing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen church as a place to have your primary input from God. I really believe your primary input comes in your room, as He said, go into your closet and really meet with Him. But then when we get to church, we can really, you know, amongst other believers, be sanctified and changed and transformed, you know, together. Yeah.
Mm. Now, I was just thinking now, I was preaching down in the Northern Cape, and one of the retired people said, you know, we've got a church here and it holds 400 people and we only get 30 people here. And he says, we're doing everything right. We're doing prayer, and we've got our services, and we have worshiped the music, and we've got a good message, and so, but the people aren't coming to church. And I just asked him one question: where does Jesus fit into all this? And he stopped dead, and he said, I hadn't thought about that. But how does Jesus fit into this church going, into this well, we call it church, but the people are the church, not the building. Mm. The people, how do you instill an intimate relationship or a growth of an intimate relationship with your church members?
I really believe it's just, you know, actually using the words and telling each other and reminding each other, you know, of who Jesus is. Firstly, in our church, it's very important for us to often admit to each other that Jesus is the head of our church. No person, no organization, no institution, but Jesus himself. And I think if you can settle that in your heart and in your mind, things change, because then you can't just make your own plans. You can't just think of something that sounds good or feels good in the moment for you as a leader or for the people, what the people might love. You must know that this is Jesus' church and what would he do? And we find that in the word, you know. Mm. So I really believe that's our safeguard, is make sure that what you do correlates with what the word says, and make sure that a personal relationship with the Lord is central to leadership and also to the believers in the church. And if it's not, so reminding them and encouraging each other to make time to spend with the Lord alone.
Mm. So what I'm hearing, what you're saying, is that you as pastor actually has to have the maturity and the knowledge and the intimate relationship with God before you can expect your church to build that relationship.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard to preach about something if you haven't got the T-shirt, right? So, and I feel very uncomfortable preaching about something that I've never tried before, or if I don't have experience in it. We don't have experience in everything that the word says, but I think in these different ways that you experience Jesus and his kind of life in your life. And if you can testify about that, it encourages others. And I do believe, you know, things like personal time with God, quiet mm-hmm. time, is not easy. It's not easy in our lives to fit it in. But if we can, you know, really testify that even if it's not easy, that you the Lord has helped you to find time in your life to spend with God, that other would be encouraged to try it out, you know, and to really make sure that they have a personal relationship with him. Yeah.
Do you think it's important to have cell groups, home cell groups?
Very important, yes.
Do you
yes.
have that?
Yes. We have a very small congregation, so we have one small group at this stage. We are working on the others, but we find time and time again those people really grow close together. They support each other. They understand each other, and you can't have church without small groups. I really believe that. Yeah.
So I always say that the small groups or the cell groups are the engine room of the church, and the Sunday service is where you come and bring honor and worship to God for what has happened in the cell group. Do you agree with that?
For sure, I think definitely. And you know what we forget sometimes is that the people in our homes are also a type of a cell group, you know. So we just don't often have a spiritual or a spiritual conversational relationship in our houses. But I mean, even if you have that there and you can celebrate together at church, mm-hmm. you know, that's also good, but it's harder. It's harder in a family unit, definitely, mm-hmm. to be able to throw your anchors deep, you know, in a smaller group with less people and really invest emotionally and spiritually in those groups is where your sanctification starts forming. Yeah, I really do believe that.
Yeah. What role does counseling play? I mean, I'm not talking only about social problems. Spiritual counseling and social counseling for problems that your people have, and can you use that also to build their spiritual trust in the Lord?
For sure. I think every one of us have baggage. Everyone has some kind of emotional challenge, I believe, and either you're going to want to talk about it or you won't. But if you have the courage and you would like to talk about that, we as in our church are available.
Okay.
Are available to talk to our people, to also refer them to a counseling center that we have on our church's premises. So to us, it's very important to be able to support our people on an emotional level, because if your emotions, those challenges aren't sorted out, it often hampers your spiritual life, for sure. Mm. I really believe that, yeah.
Don't you find that when you have to do counseling, that it takes up a lot of your time? Because I know they say being a pastor is one of the most stressful jobs that there is. I actually saw some research on that, and they say it's one of the most stressful jobs. And it would take a lot of your time, the counseling of your church members?
It does. It does take a lot of your time. It depends. I feel I'm still coping because we've got a smaller congregation, but it's still integral. So yes, stressful. I did not think I would be working this hard in the church, and I am, but extremely significant and meaningful to be able to be used by the Lord. I won't exchange that for anything, but yes, it's important to make sure that the balance is right and to make sure that you get to the important appointments. You know, like any other job, a pastor can get bogged down by the tasks, so you have to always check that.
Now, just a last comment. I'm thinking, and just for our listeners, I have actually preached in Johannes Church several times. But you've got one guy there, and I love his ministry because he always comes and you get a toffee from him every Sunday. And if you're preaching, you get two. I don't know if you also get that.
Yes, no, but, for sure.
And then he's not somebody that speaks comfortably. He always gives you his testimony in written form, and then you either present it to the church or just enjoy it yourself. Do you think that's really a viable ministry?
I know. I love the way he does that. To me, you know what? Honesty and vulnerability is one of the most important pillars for building relationship. And to me, what he does, you know, is being vulnerable. And that's definitely part of our ministry, to just receive whatever people feel they can give. And if it's a toffee before church, and if it's a letter, he calls it love letters that he gives us, then we receive that and also see it as the way the Lord works in simple ways. Yeah. Mm.
So you encourage your people to actually openly take part in ministering to each other and ministering to the church?
For sure, for sure. Yeah, we don't always, you know, if the Lord puts something on your heart for someone else, you don't understand what the story is always, but the Lord knows how to work. And if we're just open for that, I believe we can do so much more for each other.
Mm. I've been talking to Pastor Johannes Meyring from a Collage English congregation. You're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, and the program is Hospivision, and as usual, it's time for our devotion. And in line with what we've just talked about, I want to share with you something from Scripture. The Apostle Paul drove a demon out of a slave girl in the name of Jesus Christ, and that meant her masters could no longer use her to make money out of her demonic ability to tell the future. So they had Paul and Silas arrested, flogged, and imprisoned. And in the light of that, I'd like to read to you from Acts chapter 16, from verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights and he rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." I'm just going to read that far. You can imagine the panic of the jailer when he saw the open doors. He knew that
If the prisoners escaped, he would be sentenced to death by the authorities, and maybe some torture as well. But when he saw all the prisoners there, the miracle was doubled, and he knew there must be another life. Paul and Silas told him of the amazing new and eternal life that was available to him, and he committed immediately. Both he and his household came to faith in Jesus Christ. But that wasn't the end. His new faith urged him into action. He lovingly washed Paul and Silas's wounds, gave them food, and learned from them about this new relationship he had with Jesus. The jailer and his family, who had all come to faith in Jesus, were baptized as a sign of their newly found faith at conviction. What a wonderful testimony! Even in the most difficult of circumstances, two things happened. First, God came through for Paul and Silas. Secondly, Paul and Silas were ready to testify to God's goodness and love, and also share with the jailer that it wasn't necessary to commit suicide because there was an alternative. Start a brand new life with a relationship with an invisible but very real Savior. This is the message that we as missionaries and pastors preach. This should be the message that every Christian should preach and teach. We are designated to be God's messengers, to tell the people in our immediate circle that there is always, always hope. Are you one of those who is always ready to share a negative story, to instill fear in the lives of your friends and family? Or are you the one that says there is always hope? When you see someone in fear and trembling, the message should be that there is always hope. Let the challenge for you and me be that we are the ones who are the messengers of a message of hope, a message that changes lives. Let's pray together. Lord, many of us listening in want to get rid of the nagging, horrible doubts and depressing thoughts about what we see. Please open our eyes that we will be able to see the hope and the joy that you offer us and to share it. We ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the music that I'm going to play for you.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.
And that was Razan, Give Me Jesus. And may that be the prayer of your heart. Give me Jesus. Well, one announcement that I'd like to make for you is there's a course on relationship counseling, very useful course. And it's University of Pretoria accredited, although that's in the process of being confirmed. But you're welcome to attend it. It will take place from the 18th to the 20th of November. So you've got well over a month in which to register if you do want to register. We'll announce it again in a week or two time, so that you are reminded. If you want to contact us, you're welcome. I'll give you the number in a minute. And just to remind you, we also have two courses called Learning to Steal and Stewardship, which are available. These two courses are not accredited with the university, but they're free of charge. So if you want us to do it for you, you get 10 people together and we'll come and do it for you free. And it's my wife and I that present that course. If you want to contact us, you're more than welcome to contact our head office, Hospice Vision's head office, and it's here in Pretoria on the number 012-329-9492. And you can speak to Luvengo. And then also, if you'd like to send Luvengo an email, the email address is friend@hospivision.org.za. And also, go and have a look at Hospice Vision's website. It's a very interesting website. There's lots of things there that we are busy doing. And you can look at hospivision.org.za. And if you don't have the electronic facilities and you will want to drop us a line, you can send us a letter at P.O. Box 12423, Queenswood 0121. Well, with that, we come to the end of the program. It was nice having you with us, and we trust you enjoy the program.
Irani shared with us, looking from the inside. Not always what we see, but we hear these things now, don't we? I'm going to play out with you Retief Burger with Give Thanks to the Lord. This is Peter Barnard from the Hospice Vision Studio. Till next week.
Real radio for real people, serving a real God. Tune in to Radio Pulpit 657 AM. Download our app and listen on radiopulpit.co.za.